thanks for coming today, especially at the end of a day on such a beautiful day outside. I appreciate everyone's dedication to APHA coming to our presentation. My name is Robert Latorno, and on behalf of my co-authors, Carolyn Crump, who's here in the room today, Jan Lowry, Leslie Brown, and Missy Brayboy, I'm here to talk about a project we've been conducting in North Carolina to assess health needs and capacity using reflection and action among North Carolina tribes and urban Indian associations. Carolyn and I have been working with American Indian and Alaska Native tribes for over 11 years, and from the farthest reaches of some villages in Alaska. And so it's been a great opportunity, our first real effort to work with tribes in North Carolina. I like to joke that it's nice to wake up and go on a work trip and not have to go on an airplane. I can just drive a couple hours across the state. So I have no relationships to disclose. I'm going to start by giving an overview about the North Carolina Tribal Health Assessment Project, which we call NCTHA. My team members include my colleague and I from the University of North Carolina Gilling School of Global Public Health, my co-authors from the North Carolina Office of Minority Health and Health Disparities, which is part of the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, and staff from the North Carolina Commission on Indian Affairs, which is part of the state's Department of Administration. And our project was developed to conduct an organizational assessment of the North Carolina tribes and urban Indian associations, which is actually the first ever effort on behalf of the Health and Human Services Department to identify health-related capacity among tribes and associations. And as described in a lot of the materials we used to develop to talk about this project, our efforts sought to go beyond the data, in other words, to go beyond the data that show that health disparities exist and instead look at the capacity of the organizations, the tribes, the associations in their ability or their capacity to address those health disparities. So our efforts came out of multiple years of efforts of going on across the state since 2004 when a joint task force on Indian health was established. This 21-member task force includes American Indian health professionals from various tribes across the state and associations, as well as several health department representatives. The task force has been led by co-chairs and has included three primary committees, the Sovereignty, Governance, and Systems Committee, the Data, Information, and Gaps Committee, and the Access to Prevention and Care Services Committee. And this is the committee that made the recommendation to the Joint Task Force to do this type of assessment to learn what's going on with the tribes and associations in North Carolina. So more background information. In the state of North Carolina, there are eight tribes, eight state-recognized tribes, and they're listed in the green box to the left. And there are four urban Indian associations in Fayetteville, Greensboro, Charlotte, and the Raleigh area. The boxes dispersed on this map represent approximate geographic locations where the tribes and associations are located. As you can see, enrollment and membership in the tribes ranges from a low of about 800 to a high of 57,000, and in the associations ranges from a low of 150 to about 1,800. Chronologically, the tribes received state recognition as early as 1865 for the Eastern Band of Cherokee and as late as 2002. For the Okanichi Band of the Saponi Nation. And as some of you in the room probably recognize, there is an important distinction to make about state-recognized tribes in that in North Carolina, the Eastern Band of Cherokee is the only tribe that is federally recognized and receives services from the federal government, like the Indian Health Service. The other seven in the tribes are not eligible for that. So that's why I've emphasized state recognition in this presentation so far. So let me talk a little bit about our methods for our project. We have two stages. The first stage is what we call the overview stage or reflection stage. All eight tribes and four associations were invited to participate back in July of 2007, and since that time we've completed 11 visits to them. During the visits, we conduct sort of focus group style interviews with anywhere between two and six representatives, and those representatives are people identified as very knowledgeable about the health-related or health disparity activities that are going on at the tribe. Following the visits, we write site-specific documents called Overview Health Assessment Profiles, which are reviewed in draft form by the members of our team and then sent to the Tribe or Association for their review and editing as well. The second stage of our project, which is concurrent with completing the first stage, is called the in-depth stage or action stage, which is basically involved conducting follow-up visits to two of the tribes that participated in the overview, and the two that are listed here, the Halawasaponi Indian Tribe based in Hollister, North Carolina, and the Lumbee Tribe of North Carolina based in Pembroke. We used quite a few different criteria to select which two would be able to participate during this first effort in the in-depth, and the primary reasons were sort of stated interest in wanting to do so and their sort of readiness to begin some action planning. The in-depth visits are the agendas for and the activities that are conducted are led entirely based on the tribe's needs, and our follow-up meetings with the two tribes so far have included discussions about data collection at the Halawasaponi Indian Tribe, and actually next week will involve a full-day retreat with the Lumbee Tribe's Health and Human Services Committee to increase capacity for program planning, implementation, and evaluation. This, as I said, this phase of the project is still underway, and there's hope that we'll be able to do this in-depth with all the others who participated in the overview at some point. So, in addition to summarizing information about each tribe or association, their background, such as their structure, their geography, and their population, our entire approach to conducting this assessment has been guided by six broad categories of health, and I'm going to go over each one. Our preparation prior to a visit, during a visit, and then write-ups following visits were organized and categorized by these six components. So, for example, the first component, tribal health agenda and priorities, some of our key questions were, how are health priorities identified by the tribe or association? Who's involved with identifying those health priorities, and what factors contribute to a health issue being prioritized? For tribal capacity or experience in addressing health issues, exactly that. You know, what health infrastructure or staffing does exist, has existed in the past to address health priorities, what funds have been used, how have they been used, what staffing are involved. For collaboration and partnership experience, we've sought to learn more about with whom the tribe or association has collaborated to address health, for example, a local health department, how these collaborative relationships are formed and maintained, and with whom would the tribe like to collaborate perhaps in the future. The fourth component, access to health care and services, we sought to learn what health or medical services exist at the tribe. We sought to learn what experiences that tribal members have had as they seek medical and or wellness or preventive care outside of the tribe or even within if it's available. And we also learned a little bit about to what degree members of the tribes or associations are under or uninsured. For data, we sought to learn what data have been collected to assess health needs and how data are used to sort of address health concerns or priorities, whether it's collected by the tribe themselves or another entity, perhaps through an academic partnership with a project. And then finally, for training needs and interests, we've sought to learn what training staff members or community members have had in their efforts to address health and what training they might want in the future, particularly on the lines of grant writing, data collection, program planning, and evaluation. So through this process, we've identified a few strengths and challenges. For the overview stage, the face-to-face interaction has been great. The original plan actually did not have us doing face-to-face interviews, and we said, well, we kind of need to meet in person, and that would be great if that could be added to the budget, and it was. So that there's definitely some cost implications in that, but it was very helpful. It allowed us for rapport building and contextual learning for on our part. Scheduling that many visits with that many people per visit can be challenging, and we, in fact, haven't conducted the 11th one due to some challenges that have occurred. The overview stage, it was also very helpful to have the entire process guided by these six broad health topics that I mentioned earlier. It allowed for a lot of consistency in the way information was gathered and summarized. However, because we wanted to have that consistency, one challenge has been we wanted to conduct most of our visits prior to the actual writing stage for the overview health assessment profiles, and so some of the sites that got visited earlier had a little bit longer time in between when they got to review their draft of their profile. For the in-depth stage, a key strength has been the process is tribally guided and is action-oriented. And the multiple meetings have helped to prioritize needs and discussion, and we think will influence plans that some of the two of the tribes have in sort of furthering their capacity to address health in the future. So while we are still finalizing the completion of the draft profiles, we are still doing the in-depth visits, and we have yet to conduct our visit to the 11th site, the 11th tribe, the Meharan tribe. We have identified some key themes that we're going to share with you today. The first of which is most tribes or associations we've worked with have faced challenges in identifying and or defining their specific health issues or needs, in that they are at various stages in doing so. They have limited American Indian-specific data collected or available to them, and that they themselves have conducted very few formal surveys of their members to assess health needs or priorities. There's a great interest, however, in addressing health as entities and organizations, but there is also infrastructure funding and staffing issues that abound and in some cases limit progress to doing so. Funding for state-recognized only tribes can, or state-only recognized tribes can be limited, and even when competing for funding at the state level, for example, they do so as nonprofit organizations and therefore compete as such with other nonprofits across the state. And many of our visits included discussions whereby representatives mentioned feeling or identifying with the feeling of being invisible in plain sight, in that as an American Indian in North Carolina, people make assumptions about your race, and in some health settings, you don't even have a box to check off that you are an American Indian. So that was talked about in a lot of our visits. So as we complete the process, and our final report is being written, here are a couple of the key recommendations we'll be giving to the North Carolina Office of Minority Health and Health Disparities. It's been a very active player in this project. First, to increase assistance provided to tribes and associations to collect data, to disseminate best practices for some of the leading health disparities faced by American Indians in North Carolina, to provide training opportunities for program planning and implementation or program evaluation or even grant writing so they can have projects try in their communities. Provision of funding, we're going to recommend that they continue to provide funding to tribes and urban Indian associations, but in doing so, make sure that they can, that there's enough there that they're allowed to hire staff, because the staff that we met with wear multiple hats, manage multiple programs, so to just expect staff to do more and more and more or volunteers to come in and do more is just not feasible. So, and then we are going to encourage them strongly to disseminate these project profiles that are being written to health department directors throughout the state to increase outreach and networking and collaboration. And these profiles will also be shared among the tribes and urban Indian associations, because we've learned a lot about how, the people who worked at Lumbee didn't know that the Halawasaponi were doing this and vice versa and things like that. Here are a couple of photos from our visits to the Cumberland County Association for Indian People in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Guilford Native American Association in Greensboro, Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians out in the mountains of North Carolina, the Lumbee Tribe of North Carolina, Halawasaponi Indian Tribe, the Okanichi Band of the Saponi Nation, the Saponi Tribe, and the Waccamaw-Suwin Tribe. Not every tribe is represented. For one visit, we forgot our camera, if you can believe that. We also want to acknowledge, this is a table that shows chronologically by tribe or association when we visited, and the people in the third column represent the people who participated, and we want to acknowledge and thank them for their time and the commitment to this project, but also a lot of people who are not listed here who work tirelessly behind the scenes at these small community tribes and tribal associations to ensure that their communities are healthier and safer. Thank you. I'll take questions. Sure. The question was whether or not I could speak to the relationship between the local health departments and some of the tribes and the communities we worked with. And that issue exactly was discussed on many of our visits. I would say across the tribes that we and the associations we worked with that there are relationships, which is a good first step. Some of the relationships are better than others. We did not seek to categorize them in any way, but there are some efforts in that regard. Sure. The question is how community-based participatory research has influenced or may influence our thinking. And the work that Carolyn and I have done across the country for over a decade now, while I don't know if it follows the exact tenets of community-based participatory research, but the way we do what we do is very participatory. And when we set up this program from the beginning, when we identified these six health priorities, lots of people were involved with what those questions would be, how they would be asked, and who would be involved at the tribes that we visited.
If I may just answer
sure.
this question, to what extent did you feel the tribes were aware of this research
Well, the fact that we got all 11 out of the 12 to participate was a success in and of itself. The Office of Minority Health, when we started this project, really did not know if we would get all the tribes to participate, particularly if the one federally recognized tribe would see it as worth or sort of beneficial to them to participate since they get Indian Health Service funding. I lost my train of thought. I hope that was helpful.
It sounds successful. One more question, then we'll move on. Yes.
Alan De La Pena, someone I know.
How would you compare the organizational level of development with the state recognized versus the federal recognized?
Yeah, because of our experience in working with so many other tribes. We were actually interviewed about this project with by the School of Public Health recently, and I was pleasantly pleased with how much efforts had already been underway, how documented their efforts are, and the materials we were able to get before we went to visit to sort of see what health issues they were addressing, what projects they had done, what funding they had received, and from who was very various, was very varied. And that effort to sort of document that what the tribes are doing in North Carolina is probably one of the biggest outcomes of this project, so that the Office of Minority Health can go to the state legislature and say, we've been saying for years we know that health disparities exist. We've been saying for years that we know that the tribes and urban Indian associations need help. Now we have it on paper. And look how pretty it is. It's on paper and it's really organized. So help. I bet it is. I am not sure. I don't know the answer to that question.
What's your email?
My email is Robert _ Letourneau, Letourneau at unc.edu. And these slides are available on the public health the website, continuing education.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
Really great. Good. Okay. The next. And how do you get out of here? By the way, do you just click
one
it?
One more time.
Okay. Great. Great. And we go to the next. All right. The next present.